In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is both our readings, Genesis, the third chapter, and 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. These were God's words of warning to Adam. There was one rule and one consequence. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In that day, in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. But almost as soon as God speaks, Satan slithers in and hisses. Did God really say? The devil's first and greatest weapon is to twist God's own words so that you hear God's word, but rather than hearing it, you end up listening to Satan's lies. You hear it, and yet you don't hear it, for it is twisted. And there, in the garden, at that tree, it works. Adam and his wife take of the fruit of the tree. The only one they're not supposed to eat of is the only one that they eat of, and that one is promised to bring about death. Only partway through the third chapter of the entire Bible, everything goes wrong. Mankind's sin is a rejection of God. Adam and his wife rebel against the goodness of the Lord. And they desire to be like him, on par with him, equal to him as the creator. And so, God curses Adam, his wife, and the serpent. No longer will the ground produce fruit like it once used to. You're going to do some back-breaking manual labor. By the sweat of your brow, you shall eat of the earth. Childbirth? The pain is substantially increased. And those of you who have endured it in this life know what God is talking about. Moreover, relationships are painful toil and labor. The woman will desire her husband's leadership and his lordship, his position, he will rule over her. The serpent will now slither on his belly and will one day be crushed. But in the meantime, Adam and Eve are expelled from the garden that God made for them, separated from the presence of God and from the tree of life, which promises eternal life and paradise with God. And now they will receive the punishment, the wages for their sin, death. The promise comes, you are dust, and to dust shall you return. We like to think that we're getting better, that we're smarter, that we're more capable, that with several thousands years worth of knowledge and understanding of God's revelation under our belts, we would have done better than the first Adam. If only they knew then what we know now, then they would have actually listened to and obeyed our Creator. But in truth, we've had plenty of opportunities to listen to God. Our entire lives prove that given the choice between good and evil, we choose evil. We choose to hold grudges rather than forgive. We choose to indulge our lustful thoughts by continuing to look lustfully at someone who is not our spouse rather than choosing to look away and remain faithful to the one who is or who will be our spouse. We choose to skip church or complain about it rather than choosing to see it as the very place where God is present to forgive my sins and give to me eternal life. We choose to yell at, to belittle, to speak poorly about our friends, family, acquaintances, and fellow citizens of Lidgerwood because it makes our venting and our frustrations of our anger, it makes us feel a little bit better rather than actually choosing to speak kindly of them and to explain everything in the best possible way as God Himself expects us to do. We choose to covet, to dwell on and to be consumed by the thoughts of whatever thing that we love that somebody else has. A spouse, children, health, money, car, farmland, grades, athletic ability, musical ability, and whatever else you can think of. We choose to chase after these things and dwell on these things rather than being content, choosing to be content with what God has given us and thanking Him for that which He has provided. See, we, like the first Adam, keep eating from the tree God tells us not to eat from. Day after day, generation after generation, that's the scene. The scene in the garden is the scene that plays out in the lives of every single human being on a day-to-day basis. Presented with the opportunity to sin, they take it. You take it. I take it too. And thus, we receive Adam's inheritance. Death. St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, writes, sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all people. That is our lot in life. That is what we deserve. The wages of sin is death. Hence the words of 1 Corinthians 15. For as by a man, the first Adam, came death. And not simply temporal or temporary earthly death. That is, the death that makes your heart cease beating, your lungs ceasing to draw breath, your eyelids being closed in death, and your casket being sealed and lowered into the ground so that you may return to dust as from it you were taken. But it's so much more than that. It's an eternal death. A resurrection to condemnation. And thus a physical separation from God. Hell. A departing from His presence into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels, where the worm does not cease eating you and the fire never dies. That is what came through Adam. That is what has been handed down to you, and that is what you and I deserve. For as in Adam, all die. But this, dear Christian, this is not what you shall receive. This is not strictly your inheritance. For you see, in the fullness of time, God sent forth a new Adam, a better Adam, a second Adam. God sent forth His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who came to do His Father's will. He, like the first Adam, was tempted by Satan. Yet where Adam failed, Christ succeeded. The second Adam withstood the devil's attacks. He was tempted in every way that you and I are, yet he was without sin. When faced with his pending arrest and crucifixion in the garden, he prayed for another way, but was entirely ready to submit himself to the Father's will. He denied himself to follow the will of his Father. Unlike the first Adam, the second Adam did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus went willingly to the tree of the cross in our place, abandoned by most of his followers, forsaken even by his Father. Jesus endured hell on the cross so that you will not endure hell for eternity, so that that will not be your inheritance. He overcame the assaults of the devil. He accomplished your salvation by the tree of the cross. Where death arose through the first Adam, there in the second Adam, life rose again. Where the serpent overcame the first Adam by the tree of the garden, likewise the serpent was overcome by the second Adam's tree, the tree of the cross. As in Adam, all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Jesus is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He is the firstborn from the dead. He who was dead is alive again. This is what the angel proclaims to the women on Easter morning. Why do you seek the living among the dead? I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Do you doubt that? Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side, Jesus says to Thomas and the disciples. A spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. Therefore, do not be disbelieving. Rather, believe. Dear saints of the living God, Christ is risen from the dead. By death upon death he has trampled. And to those, to you who dwell in the shadows of death and who rest in the tombs of the earth, he will bestow life. You will not remain in the dust and ashes forever. Yes, everyone, the righteous and unrighteous, the believers and unbelievers alike, die in Adam. And everyone, the righteous and unrighteous, the believers and unbelievers alike, will also be raised in Christ. For in Adam all die, yet in the second Adam, in Christ shall all be made alive. But the unrighteous, the unbelievers, will rise to be condemned. They will receive their bodies back from the dead, only to forever be cast into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels, where the worm does not cease eating you, and the fire never dies. Yet the righteous, the believers in Christ, who are justified by his blood alone, who are marked with a cross, his cross, on their forehead and on their hearts, and who are forgiven all their sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, will rise unto eternal life. You will rise to eternal life. For the trumpet will sound, and you will be raised imperishable. As death no longer has mastery over Jesus, so it will no longer have mastery over you. Because the grave could not hold him, neither shall it be able to hold you. Because Christ rose with his body, so too shall you rise with your body. There will be no mourning. There will be no suffering. There will be no sin. There will be no pain. And there will be no death. The old will have passed away and the new will have come. For then you shall look upon the curse of the first Adam, your enemy death, and you shall forever see it destroyed by the second Adam, Jesus Christ our Lord. O death, where is your victory? O grave, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. Yes, the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is your King. He is your Lord. He is your Savior. He is your life. He is your length of days. He was dead, but now is alive again. He is the Eternal, the Imperishable, firstborn from the dead, the second Adam, Jesus Christ our Lord. To him be glory forever. Amen.